Well, this morning, I want to welcome everyone back to New Life Worship Center today. We, of course, have live service, but we also are streaming now on YouTube for every sermon. And we are so glad that you chose to join us this morning. We trust that it'll be a blessing to you. This morning, for this Labor Day weekend, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes from this thought, a witness to the world, a witness to the world. You know, the Word tells us that we're to be witnesses for the Lord no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. But especially in our vocation, I think it's so important that we exhibit that Christ-like attitude and demeanor and lifestyle before those around us that might not know the Lord. And so we need to be that witness to the world, to those that we work with, alongside, and really wherever we are and wherever we might go. The Daily Walk, one of my devotionals, asked this question: would you describe your lifestyle as unusual? Would you describe your lifestyle as unusual? God desires His people to demonstrate a unique quality of life to the world around them. Not strange or weird, but tantalizingly different. God doesn't want us to be in people's face with this or anything like that. God wants us to just in our normal, everyday lifestyle to present that gospel as He would give us opportunity to do so. In both the Old and the New Testaments, God describes His people as my treasured possession or as His chosen people, phrases like that, that describe a uniqueness of belonging and also value. Do you ever think of yourself as that to God, that you are unique and you belong to Him and you have value? I love that God looks at us like that. He hasn't made not one other person that is exactly like you or me. Some of us say, well, thank God, right? But it's true, you know. No matter what, He's made us unique. We're totally different. Even identical twins, there are little things that are just a little bit different in their personalities. You know, one might like vanilla ice cream, one might like chocolate. I mean, you just don't know. And so we're unique, and I love that. We're unique, we belong, and we have value in God's eyes. And that's just amazing to me. For Israel, the nation of Israel, that uniqueness involved turning from the political and the spiritual corruption of their day. Very similar to what we're going through in our own country today. Things like injustice, violence, treachery, gluttony, idolatry, all those things back then, and we have the same issues in our country and around the world today. Today, the assignment that God gave to Israel is just as staggering and strategic today for us. You'll find it, and I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 in verses 19 through 23. And there we'll find a description of folly to avoid and fruit to cultivate in order to be a unique witness to the world around us. God wants us to be a witness to the world. Let's take a look in Galatians chapter 5, and let's begin at verse number 19. And it says this: the acts of the sinful nature, these are things obviously to avoid, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, Paul writes, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a doctrine going around. It's called the doctrine of inclusion, and it says that everybody's going to heaven. Nobody will be excluded. Everybody is included. Everyone's going to heaven. And that's not what this Bible says, and it's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and how many? Few there be that find it. And so we know that not everybody is making heaven their home. And Paul says, I warn you, as I've done before, that those who live like this, those things that we just listed, what we call maybe the fruit of the flesh, he says, those folks will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's where we do want to emulate, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those are the things that we need to add to our lives, to the character and to the fabric of who we are, is all these nine gifts or fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And then we have an indwelling power to help us in that task, the person of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and resides within us. And so we have that person, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of us to enable us to live this kind of life that we just described in the fruit of the Spirit. Now I want us to go up to verse 16, the same chapter, Galatians 5, but let's back up to verse 16, speaking about the Holy Spirit. Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If we pursue the Holy Spirit, if we pursue the fruit of the Spirit that we just read about, he says, then if you live by that Holy Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of our sinful nature. We won't live by the fruit of the flesh that we described earlier, but rather we will emulate and live by the fruit of the Spirit. And he says in verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. We have to recognize that there is a battle going on inside of us. Christians and non-Christians alike, there's a battle between light and darkness, goodness and evil. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, we're not going to satisfy the desires of that sinful nature because there's that warfare going on. They're contrary one to another, the flesh and the Spirit. Bible says the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us to strengthen those areas in our lives where we might be weak and where we might be tempted to fall and to mess up and to sin. But the Spirit of God is in us to strengthen us and to help us overcome every temptation. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the condemnation of the law or under law. And I want us to skip down to verse number 24 of this same chapter, Galatians 5, verse 24, and it says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Paul said in one place, he said, I die daily. What does that mean? Well, he dies to his own desires. He dies to what he wants, and he lives to what God wants with his life. That's the way we're to live. We're to crucify our life, and we're to live as unto the Lord and live for Christ. Those who belong to Christ have crucified this sinful nature with its passions and desires that are contrary to what God wants. Then verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I like that. We don't need to run ahead of God, because if we do, we're going to get into trouble. But we also don't need to lag behind what God is wanting to do in our lives, because we'll be in trouble there as well. But he says, if we live by the Spirit, then we'll keep in tune and in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit. That's what God desires. He wants us to be in a great flow with him and a great rhythm with him and with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So it's so important that we allow the Lord to help us to do that. Also, the Daily Walk adds this, think back over the last 7 days of your life and count the number of people that you have talked to in that period of time. Think for a minute. Family members, co-workers, classmates, friends, neighbors, service people at places that you shop, store clerks where you go. And then don't forget those that you communicated with by phone or by text or by email or maybe even over the fence with your neighbor as you talk with your neighbor. Now subtract the number of those who already know Christ as Savior, those that are already serving God. And so how many of those people that you were in contact with the last 7 days of your life, how many does that leave? 5 people maybe? 10? 20? Maybe more that don't know Christ yet. Well, that represents the number of opportunities that you and I have every week to offer hope, to offer encouragement, and also a word of witness to a lost world, a world that needs Jesus, people that we're in contact with each week and maybe even every day of our lives that need to know Christ as Savior. We are to be a witness to the world around us. You and I may never travel, maybe to a foreign country, maybe some of us will, but wherever we are, we're to be a witness to the world that lives around us and in which we live. God wants us to do that. Chris Tigreen writes this. He says, our job and our economic relationships are one of the vital sectors of society that we're called to impact. In other words, wherever you work, whatever you do for your vocation to earn a living, and wherever you might be, even those that might be retired, what are you doing? You know, we never retire from serving God. We may retire from a job or a career or a vocation, but we never retire from serving God. We never retire from becoming a witness to the world around us. We enter the workforce many times as employers or employees or even just as participants, as consumers. And God gives us favor there so that when we function in His Spirit, we're a blessing to those around us. God wants us to do that. Then He continues, know who you are in the Spirit, and just as you have influence in your family and in your church, you carry the presence of God into every area of your life, including your occupation, including where you work. You can ask God for solutions to difficult problems. You can ask God to help you serve a priestly function to those who don't know Him. And you can ask Him for a heart. You can sense God's heart for them and express it to them, how much God loves them. And you can affect the environment with your words and your attitudes. What's the environment like where you are in a day's time? Whether you're retired and maybe you're at home or maybe you're out and about running errands, if you're still in the workforce and you've got a place of employment, how can you affect the environment of where God has you right now? How can you affect your family, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, people that you know and care about that don't know the Lord? How can you affect the environment of their lives and their attitudes towards the Lord? I love this. Be the visible presence of the invisible God. I want to say that again. Be the visible presence of the invisible God. That's what God would have us to be. Be Jesus. Be life to people around you on a daily basis. Through your actions, through your words, just let people know not only does God love them, but you love them as well. You love them enough to tell them about this wonderful Savior that we have, and His name is Jesus. Turn with me now to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, and we're going to pick up at verse number 18. And it says this, as Jesus was getting into the boat, this is the story of a man that had lived in the tombs, and he was demon-possessed. And Jesus came that way, and He set that person free, delivered him from demonic bondage. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Him. This man was so excited about being set free by Jesus from this demonic power in his life. He wanted to go with Jesus. He said, just let me go with you. I just want to, wherever you go, I want to go. I want to be with you. But Jesus, look at this, so interesting. Jesus did not let him. The Lord said, no, I don't want you to come with me. But he said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I love that. So the man went away, and he began to tell in the Decapolis, the 10 cities region around him, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. You can imagine this man, his family, his friends, his community, the area of the small 10 city area where he lived, they knew this guy. They avoided this guy. He lived in the cemetery, the graveyard. He was totally out of his mind. He was demon-possessed. And Jesus came his way and set him free. And he so wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I want you to go to your family. I want you to go to your friends. And all I want you to do is tell them what great things that God has done for you. And so he did that. He did that. And it says the people were amazed at what God had done in this man's life. See, they knew who this guy was. They knew what he had been, how he had been demon-possessed and just a crazed man, not even able to live with his family, but living literally in a cemetery, just out of his mind. And they were amazed at the power of God who had set him free and had healed him by the power of God. So this morning, if you feel you aren't having maybe a witness, or maybe you're not being a witness to the world, just tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Nobody can tell your story like you can. Nobody knows what Jesus has done for you like you do. And so that's what it's all about. Just being a witness to the world is telling somebody your story of where Jesus found you and where he's brought you to now, what he's done in your life. So tell them your testimony. That's what we're saying. Tell them your story. Tell them your testimony, because your testimony is your witness. Your testimony is your witness. When you let them know the great things that God has done for you, it literally is a witness to the people around you, and they will be blessed by hearing what God has done for you. And if they don't know Christ, they will think, well, you know what? If God can do it for you, maybe he can do it for me. And you know what? He really can. Because God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. What he's done for you, he'll do for others. Amen? I love this in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. We're told this. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. I can remember as a teenager in our home church that our pastor read that scripture to us one Sunday morning, and he said, there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was, and put your name there. That's what our pastor told us to do. I want you to do that this morning. There came a man, there came a woman, and they were sent from God, and his or her name was, put your name there, because you, folks that know Christ, you've been sent by God to a lost world to be a witness to them. That's our job. He came, the next verse says, verse 7, John came as a witness to testify concerning that light, Christ, so that through him, through Christ, all men might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. John was always clear about that. He said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that the prophets talked about that was to come. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. That's what we're to do, folks. We are a witness to the light. We're the witness to Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. And he says, you're like a city that's set on a hill. If you know Christ as Savior, you're like a city set on a hill. You are a light to the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And we are to light that world up with our witness and with our testimony about what Christ has done in our lives. And then finally, here's the key. It's found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it simply says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's a word that Jesus gave to his disciples right before he ascended into heaven. It was a group of a little over 500 people, the Bible tells us, and they were all gathered there. And they were asking him questions about, well, how will we know when you're going to be coming back? You said you're leaving us, and how will we know what's going to happen? Is now the time that you're going to set up the kingdom? What's going on? They had so many questions. He had just been crucified. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Many people saw him in the city of Jerusalem. His disciples saw him as well. And now he's got a crowd of a little over 500 people. And as they're speaking with him, and he gives them this great verse, he says, "You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends, the uttermost parts of the earth." And as he's speaking to them, the Bible says a cloud receives him out of their sight, and he ascends into heaven in that cloud. And they're just staring up, and they're wondering what to do now. And an angel appears to them. And he said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus that you've seen ascend into heaven, one day he's coming back just like he left." Just like he left. The prophet Daniel says he's coming back in clouds of glory. That's what the angel said. He ascended in a cloud. He's going to come back in a cloud. And that's the witness that God wants us to be to the world. Get ready before Jesus comes back. Get ready while it's today. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So it's time to turn our hearts over to the Lord. It's time to be a witness to the world. And as the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives us boldness to be that witness for the Lord and to be that witness to the world. Let's pray this morning. Father, today we're so thankful that you are here with us. We know that you're in us, those of us that know you as our Savior. We know that you're for us. And the Word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So Lord, again, those of us that know you as Savior, help us to be that witness to a lost world around us. Help us to be a witness to people that we know and love, and even to strangers that you're going to bring across our path. Help us to be a testimony to them, and let us share our testimony, our story with them. But Lord, this morning, there may be some watching. There may be some in this room with me this morning that maybe don't know you as their Savior. And so, Father, this morning, I'm asking you to draw them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word says, unless the Spirit of God draws us, we cannot come to Christ. And so, Father, we ask right now that the Spirit of God would be released to draw men and women and young people and, yes, even children to you into a saving knowledge of Christ. The Word says, if we confess our sin, that you would be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, do that this morning. Anyone listening, anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, as they ask for forgiveness, Lord, I know that you'll be quick to forgive it. Oh, God, touch them right now. Draw them to a place of a saving knowledge of Christ, a place of salvation. Oh, Father, do it right now. Lord, empty us of anything that would be displeasing to you and just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us, grace us with your presence, for in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, I thank you for touching hearts this morning. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to the needs in people's lives right now. In the midst of everything that we're going through, Lord, we just simply cast all of our care upon you because we know that you care for us. And so, Lord, minister to your people right now. God, touch the hearts, meet the needs, hear and answer prayer, set people free by your mighty power, and, Lord, go before us and just make a way, Lord, make a way. Guide and direct us. Keep us close to you. Keep us safe. And we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you so much. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. Join us again next week. I know that you'll be blessed. God bless you. Be safe.